It is a State Capitol Report on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We learn about the inner workings of the fake elector scheme in Wisconsin and the plot that Donald Trump's campaign used in vain to try to overturn President Joe Biden's 2020 victory here. More than 1,400 newly released documents by Republican operatives give insight into the scheme's origin story here in Wisconsin. Call in with a question. You can share comments along the way at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Rich Kramer is a Wisconsin Public Radio reporter who has been poring over these documents in recent days. Rich, welcome back to the Ideas Network. We're having just...
I am so sorry about that. Thanks for having me, Kate. It's good to be back.
Get off of that mute, Rich.
I was smashing that mute button. Sorry.
That's okay. Let's start with former Trump attorneys Jim Troupas and Kenneth Chesbro, who shared these documents and their text messages and their emails and other types of documents. What is new in these pieces, in these documents?
Really, it's a fuller understanding of how this all went down and how it started in Wisconsin. This state really was the genesis of what's become known as the false elector plot used by the Trump campaign in hopes of overturning his loss to President Biden back in January 2020. So Chesbro first pitched the idea to Attorney Jim Troupas days after the November election in 2020. At first, Chesbro was saying having Republicans pose as presidential electors was about ensuring that Trump electors would be counted if the former president won in court. You know, there were a lot of lawsuits challenging the results in Wisconsin and other states. So if the court said, you know what, Trump, you won, that way they would have their electors counted in Congress. But a month later, Chesbro told Troupas that having alternate slates of electors would pay huge dividends, even if there wasn't any litigation pending. Also, what's new is official Wisconsin electoral ballots and certifications from Trump's 2016 victory here were used as templates to draw up these false elector ballots and certificates used in Wisconsin and other states like Michigan, Pennsylvania, Georgia, New Mexico. And the two attorneys were really frustrated with conservative Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Brian Hagedorn when he sided with the court's liberals at the time to reject a Trump lawsuit seeking to overturn the election. Troupas said that in a text message to a Trump campaign person, Troupas said Hagedorn went full liberal equity. And while previewing an upcoming trip to the White House to talk to Trump, Chesbro joked with somebody, it's unclear who, but he said they were thinking of inviting Hagedorn on the plane and solving that problem at high altitude over water. So there's a lot of new little tidbits like that, but the big picture is it really gives a clear understanding of how this all started in Wisconsin.
Can you explain and step back how these documents came to light?
Yes, there. This latest tranche was released as part of a settlement. There was a lawsuit brought by some Democrats who were actual certified electors for Biden. They sued the fake Republican electors in Wisconsin. We've already had a settlement with the 10 Republicans who actually voted as electors. And this was kind of the final piece of that lawsuit. And this was a settlement with Troupas and Chesbro. So as part of the deal that they struck with the attorneys representing the Biden folks, the Democrats, they released all these documents.
Rich Kramer is a reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio as we talk about this his recent reporting on this trove of thousands of documents, over 1,000 documents related to Wisconsin's fake elector scheme. Call in with a question. You can share comments at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Rich, these documents show the role of Jim Troupas in greater detail here in this scheme. And according to the documents, how did Troupas work to keep former President Donald Trump in power?
So Troupas was playing a pretty well-known role at the time. He was the Trump campaign's top lawyer in Wisconsin. And in that role, he was involved in the partial recount of ballots from Dane and Milwaukee counties. He also filed the lawsuit that asked with the Wisconsin Supreme Court to overturn Biden's win by tossing out more than 200,000 absentee ballots from or ballots from Milwaukee and Dane counties specifically. And Troupas was key in getting Chesbrough's false elector plot, the idea that Chesbrough had pitched early on, days after the November election back in 2020. He ran it up the ladder at the Trump campaign. So really, in short, the link, Troupas was the link between Chesbrough's vision with regard to the false electors and the campaign's enactment of the plan all the way up to Congress. So Troupas was communicating with top strategists in the Trump campaign about how important it was for Republican electors to vote on December 14th, 2020.
You say December 14th, and I want to revisit some Troupas audio. This is December 16th, 2020. Troupas testifying before the U.S. Senate hearing on election security and administration, saying he's honored to have served President Trump and blames Democrats for failing to be transparent about the election. Here's some of what he said.
One of the reasons people are doubting the election is because the other side here, the Biden campaign's primary defense is don't hear the evidence. Don't let them litigate. Don't have a court rule on the substance. Let's be honest, that's what's going on.
So what did Troupas' communications from that time reveal about whether he believed the election was stolen?
So it does match up with what he said at that hearing, but so I'd say earlier on in the emails and texts, Troupas seemed to suspect foul play by Democrats and some election officials. He and Chesbrough in exchanges were complaining about things like absentee ballot drop boxes, you know, a surge of voters declaring they were indefinitely confined due to the pandemic, the COVID pandemic at the time. And Wisconsin Elections Commission guidance for correcting absentee ballots, they were upset with that. There was a Democracy in the Park event in Madison that Chesbrough and Troupas were upset with. And a lot of those things made it into the lawsuit. But on December 7th, 2020, a week before the Wisconsin Supreme Court ruled against Trump in that lawsuit that I was just referring to, Troupas focused more on the political angle of things, saying that sending alternate slates of electoral ballots to Congress, you know, it would be key to have it happen in multiple states, send in multiple slates of electors so the election, quote, remains in doubt until January.
You know, there's this memo from Trump lawyer Kenneth Chesbrough citing a 1960 dispute in Hawaii about whether to submit electors for Democrat John F. Kennedy or Republican Richard Nixon. Why did Trump's attorneys latch onto this case?
You know, I don't really know, but I do know it was like, it seems like the most recent example of both Democrats and Republicans casting electoral ballots for their preferred candidates on that day that we're talking about, the magic day, December 14th, outlined in the Constitution. So that happened in Hawaii amid a contested election and a recount, an ongoing recount. Those competing slates of electors were sent to Congress, and Nixon, who was presiding over the joint session of Congress certifying electoral ballots, called for the Kennedy electors to be certified by Congress, not his own. So that is, I mean, it's essentially the most recent example of something like this happening, but there are differences.
And those differences glaringly would be, go ahead.
Those differences are essentially that in Hawaii, it all happened in public. Both the Democrats and the Republicans casting their electoral ballots did it in the same room with newspaper reporters and cameras there. And in 2020, it was essentially, you know, these documents show that they wanted no press about it whatsoever. The Trump campaign did not want anyone talking about it. And even were unsure about putting out statements afterwards.
WPR reporter Rich Kramer there providing context for this trove of documents released last week as part of a legal settlement shedding new light on Wisconsin's role in the false elector plot by Trump's campaign in 2020. Call in with a question. You can share your perspective, 800-642-1234. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We learn about this trove of documents released through a lawsuit settlement, providing a more detailed glimpse of the plot that unfolded 5 days after President Biden was declared the unofficial winner of the 2020 election, and how the fake elector scheme in Wisconsin was a type of test model for other states in election meddling. Call in with a question. You can share your thoughts, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. We have Rich Kramer with us, a WPR reporter. Let's go to Tom in Madison. Tom, hi. What would you like to bring up?
Good morning, Kate. 2 points. The first point is all of this extra legal activity by Mr. Troupas and potentially other Wisconsin attorneys should be investigated by the Office of Lawyer Regulation here in the state of Wisconsin and by the State Bar of Wisconsin with a look to disbarring them from practicing in Wisconsin. But the main problem here is that the elephant in the room, the Electoral College, still exists. And the Electoral College, by its very nature, is undemocratic. Remember, those people get to vote twice. You don't and I don't, but they get to vote more than once on a presidential election.
Tom, thanks for calling in. On those 2 points, Rich, on the first, did the attorneys Chesbrough and Troupas get into trouble or have to pay fines through this suit?
Well, this settlement essentially ends with them admitting no liability or no culpability. That was the same outcome of the settlement between the actual Trump electors from Wisconsin and the folks that sued, the Democrats that sued. So in both cases, there was all these documents. The 10 electors in the previous suit said, look, we recognize that this, what we did was used by the campaign in attempts to overturn the election. But again, essentially admitting no fault or culpability in anything broader. Some people have wondered, you know, why the Wisconsin Department of Justice is not looking into or investigating these electors or Troupas or Chesbrough. But, you know, we've seen that happen in other states, charges in, I want to say, Michigan and other places. But just to this point, the Wisconsin Department of Justice and Attorney General Josh Call's office have essentially said, we're not going to, you know, even comment to whether there is or isn't an investigation, essentially mum. So as for the Office of Lawyer Regulation, State Bar, I suppose that's possible, but I have not heard any rumblings about that sort of thing happening as of yet. And it kind of reminds me of another situation. We had the election investigation headed up by former Supreme Court Justice Mike Gabelman, and a judge in Dane County did refer him to the Office of Lawyer Regulation for potential sanctions or at least for them to look into it. That process takes forever, and I have not heard whether the referral was even made yet.
In 2022, Congress made changes to the Federal Electoral Count Act that would essentially minimize the chances of a similar plot happening again. What have experts you've spoken with said about the impact of these changes?
So I talked to Ohio State University law professor Ed Foley, who's an expert, one of the several experts on the Electoral College and all the laws surrounding that. So he said that these changes in 2022 really clarify that the vice president's role during Congress's certification of electoral ballots is solely ministerial. That is, you're presiding over this. You cannot decide which ballots are accepted or rejected. The other changes also raised the number of lawmakers in the U.S. House and Senate that are needed to challenge electors. Before it was one in each house, now it's 20%. And the federal code that Chesbrough said in some of these documents that would allow the Wisconsin legislature to simply override the popular vote, that was also changed. So in a nutshell, Foley told me that these are as good a set of rules as anyone can write to provide clarity in what had been a vaguely written Electoral Count Act. But he told me the big caveat is rules exist on paper and human beings enforce them. Foley said, if rules aren't followed in the future, we're stuck with the, quote, fallibility of human beings.
Barb emailed to say these fake electors should be held accountable and be fined. Bob Spindell, Barb says, should be removed from the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Has there been any other beyond the Troupas and Chesbrough situation in the courts? Has there been other impacts to the actual fake electors, Rich Kramer?
There have been in other states. I mean, and let's not forget, even Chesbrough was charged with a felony. He was convicted of a felony in Georgia for filing false paperwork, essentially. And in Wisconsin, not that I know of. There was these lawsuits. They took a couple years. I mean, we're talking about today about a lawsuit settlement for a case that was first filed in 2022. Mm-hmm. And as far as I know, that's the end of the line with regard to those suits. There could be other legal actions. I have no idea.
Rich Kramer with us, reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio, discussing this trove of over 1,000 documents related to Wisconsin's fake elector scheme. Call in questions and comments, 800-642-1234. So Trump lawyer Kenneth Chesbrough told lawyer Jim Troupas that the Republican-controlled state legislature could call the election for Trump. How would have that scheme worked?
Yeah, so in multiple emails, Chesbrough said that the U.S. Constitution requires each state to appoint presidential electors essentially the way they want, in such a manner as the legislature may direct. He said that means if the Wisconsin GOP-controlled legislature felt Democrats or liberal election officials didn't follow state law when conducting the popular vote, quote, the election just doesn't count, end quote. That was what Chesbrough said to Troupas. That was part of his idea. And he said that it would essentially give him two bites at the apple, litigate the case in court, and also try to convince enough lawmakers to order electoral votes go to Trump, regardless of the popular vote. And Chesbrough said, doing so doesn't disenfranchise voters. He also told Troupas, it's clear citizens have no right to vote for president.
What was their strategy in order to explain this scheme to voters, to the public? Did they have a public type of plan?
Yeah, so Chesbrough and Troupas worked on a fill-in-the-blank press release for Republicans in other states to explain why their electors were voting when Trump was behind in the popular vote. So that was interesting to find. But in short, they were saying, look, this vote happened on December 14th to maintain, to keep our options open in case a court decides that Trump won. That way, these electors would be certified or could be certified by Congress. But again, we knew that when those statements came out, internal documents already showed that Chesbrough said it doesn't matter what happens in the courts. Hmm. So it was really two kind of different approaches in public and in private.
I wonder, Rich, your sentiment on this. How could this information, this transparency, inform our current state of political affairs in America?
You mean the transparency regarding these new documents?
Yeah, these documents and just whether a scheme like this could play out again.
I asked Foley about that, Edward Foley of Ohio State, and essentially said, nothing's off the table, when you've got humans involved. So this informs, what happened was this this plot really went a long, long ways. I mean, it went all the way to January 6th. We saw the violence at the Capitol, and it was a, you know, it was a rough moment in American history. So that's on everybody's mind. It got Congress to make those changes in 2022. So that's a big change. But again, as Foley said, anything written on paper is only as good as the people enforcing it. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see. It was essentially the message I got from him.
Rich, thank you for your reporting. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
Rich Kramer is a reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.